Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Speaking of water bills too high, we had our highest ever this past month, and it's been incredible. You know, the heat and everything has been one thing. I think my water feature maybe is still leaking some. Maybe it's not. We'll see. We're looking at that again. But it's just been a lot of water used to keep it up at the same level for our beautiful big koi. We may be donating them to somebody at some point if the water bills stay that high. I hope you your water bills are staying reasonably priced out there. One of the things about the natural organic program is that you maintain the soil moisture at a level that's ideal a lot longer. There's no question about it. I see dramatic examples of that, and we've got really good feedback from some commercial and residential properties about being able to save water with the natural organic program. The reason is it builds the life in the soil, and the microbes in the soil and their waste and everything build the carbon in the soil, and that carbon builds more microbes, and the microbes that are attached to the roots of plants, especially mycorrhizal fungus, just are more efficient at being able to access the moisture in the soil, and the moisture levels in the soil stay at these good levels for a longer period of time. One of the great benefits of the natural organic program. Just remind you once more that we're continuing the deal. If you buy one of our online courses, you get to give one to a friend for free. Just identify that person, and we'll set somebody else up with the class. So it basically gives you a two-for-one deal. Where do you find that? Well, just go to dirtdoctor.com, click on that red button at the top of the page that says Buy Books, Art, and Class, and it'll tell you about buying the books, the art, and the class right there through the nonprofit, including this deal, Buy One and Get One free. We've had a lot of people take advantage of that, and I appreciate it. Telephone number, we got people coming in and out. I don't know what that is. Probably some people had other things to do, and I understand that, but you can jump on here anytime at 866-444-3478. We're going to go to Waco next and talk to Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Howard. Say, I'm having trouble with my zestrum.
Orange cestrum.
Yeah. It's the old leaves are dull looking, and they're falling off, and the tips on some of the leaves are turning kind of brown. I was wondering what I need to do. Am I not watering enough or too much? Or
well, it's a pretty tough plant. Boy, we've got a kind of a weird phone line, Mary Rose, on that. I don't know if we can do anything about that or not. Maybe on your side, Jim, Mary says. The cestrum in my yard is growing like crazy, but I do see a little bit of discoloration, and I saw something maybe related a couple of days ago, and that is two shoots of my pink. I've got one pink trumpet vine to go along with all my red ones that I've got, and two shoots just completely died and had no reason for it or anything. I just trimmed them away and doing a little probing in the soil and see what's going on. But probably what you're dealing with there is all this intense heat, you know, followed all the heavy rain that we had, you know, back in the winter and the very early spring. I think what I'd recommend, Jim, is to get a golf club and break the head off of it, saw it off, and probe the area and see if you got too dry or too wet down in the soil. It would be my guess that it might be staying a little bit too wet, because that's a pretty tolerant plant, the cestrum.
Well, now they're in pots.
Oh, okay. Well, it's even harder to keep the watering good in the pot. So do the same thing. Do a little probing. One thing that can happen when you're going through 105 degree weather and everything, we're watering potted plants every day. And sometimes the potting soil in a potted plant can make can create a situation for itself where it's just staying waterlogged. And sometimes you have to take that probe, like I was talking about, and push it all the way down through the soil and through the drainage hole, because the roots may have matted, and they can literally mat so strongly that they seal off the drainage.
Now it drains real good.
Okay. Well, the opposite is probably true then. You're probably just not watering quite enough for this intense heat. Now that we've gotten a little milder temperature, you should be okay. I would also get you some whole ground cornmeal and put a handful of whole ground cornmeal in there, work it into the soil, and maybe even soak some in water and spray the foliage of your plant with the cornmeal tea.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can I ask you one more?
Sure.
I have a Cena.
Dracaena?
S-E-N-N-A.
Oh, Cena. Okay.
Cena. Okay. Uh-huh. And it bloomed real good in spring. And it lost its blooms and put on beans. And then half of it bloomed. And when the old bloom finished, the other half bloomed. And now it's not hardly blooming at all.
Huh, interesting. Mine has just started to bloom right now. So I guess they're mixed up a little bit. You're talking about the yellow flowering center?
Right.
Yeah. It's usually a pretty tough plant if it's doing, you know, awkward blooming like that. That can be a result of the weather as well. I do the same kind of things, do a little probing of the soil. It's a pretty very drought-tolerant plant, and so the only thing to look for is maybe some pockets where water's, not draining as well. And always look at the reverse, too. Is it too dry? Is it running off the surface before soaking down into to the root system around the plant?
Yeah. Well, the plant looks real good. I mean, it's grown. I didn't figure it'd grow that much, but God, it's really grown.
Well, sometimes when especially when the weather is erratic like it's been, we'd have to say maybe it's the normal thing for us, I guess. But a lot of times that'll just affect the blooming cycle, and it's not anything you can do. It's just a genetic thing combined with the weather that makes it bloom a little differently than it has bloomed in the past. I've seen that a lot this past year. I'm sorry?
Should I pick those beans off?
If you do, and maybe do a little tip pruning, you might get some more flowering if that's what you like. If you think the beans are decorative, which a lot of people do, leave them on there. But go ahead and clip them off, and let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm seeing strange things. We've got a couple of experiments going on that are kind of fun to do. I've got a Japanese maple in the front yard that gets a blast of direct sun right in the middle of the day that I like to show people, because it doesn't burn a bit, not even tip growth. It's just amazing how much direct sun, this beautiful, delicate, it looks like it's a dissectum, lacy cut leaf. It's actually called Orangeola. And it's one you ought to make a note of, because it's just so tough, it's unreal. At least mine is. Orangeola. And it's a split leaf, dissectum type Japanese maple. On the other hand, I've got a bigger Japanese maple in the backyard that's not a lacy leaf Japanese maple. It's got larger leaves, and it gets that same middle of the day direct blast of sun, and it's burned like crazy, cosmetically burned. And so I'm doing a little test experiment on it. I'm pulling the leaves, stripping the leaves completely off of it. In not the whole tree yet, but in certain areas. And I'm going to see if the leaves can grow back, and as they grow back, adapt to that spot of direct sun. I'm going to do a little bit more base work on it, a little bit more dramatic exposure of the flare, And then if it still burns, I'm going to have to bare root it and move it to a new place, a new location where it gets more shade. Here is Christy. We'll get started, at least, Christy, in Frisco, Texas.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, what's up? I'm going to probably have run out of time, but let's get started.
Okay. Our house has Bermuda grass, and we have big trees that are so it doesn't get enough sun, and it has died out, and now we have the soil all washed away. And so we want to come back and put sod either, and I'm trying to decide between Augustine or Zoysia, and I'm wondering what can we do to...
Okay. This is a very popular topic, Christy. I'm going to put you on hold so we can not be rushed when we come back, and we'll talk about growing grass in the shade. Some of you know what my main recommendation is going to be here, but we'll talk about all the options. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? PureGrow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for PureGrow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
We all know that probiotics are good for digestive health, but your skin, too? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products, especially harsh soaps, can disrupt the balance of the good bacteria on your skin. But there's a progressive new approach to skincare that allows you to create a healthier environment on your skin. Probiotic skincare. Dr. Ohira applied ancient Japanese fermentation skills to merge his famous pre, pro, and postbiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line. The Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, beautifully clarifies and rebalances even sensitive skin without drying. The Magoroku Lotion and the Hadayubi Moisturizer combine Dr. Ohira's award-winning probiotic complex with 14 wild plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to help restore your natural glow. As a health and beauty expert, I recommend the daily use of Dr. Ohira's skincare products, available at Sprouts and other fine health stores.
Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your garden variety fertilizer. It's a specially blended product for vegetable gardens with a rich, all-natural blend that nourishes your plants and helps grow healthy, mouth-watering vegetables. It's simple to use and safe for the family and pets with no harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers ever added. Best of all, Espoma products are effective for your organic production. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the Organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to DirtDoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Hey, Howard, back with you and rejoining Christy in Frisco. Christy, let's see if I understand this right. You've got a bunch of trees, grass died out, and now you want to plant a new turf under the shady tree area?
That's correct. Yeah, we get a couple of hours of east. Our house faces east, so we get a couple of hours of direct sun in the morning, and then it's pretty much shade the rest of the day.
Okay, I was afraid you were going to say that. What kind of trees are they? Mixture of trees?
Yes, I have a live oak and an oak and something that I'm not sure what it is.
Okay. You can't grow turf in the shade, Christy. It's just a fact of life. Four hours is the absolute minimum, and that's really not enough for St. Augustine grass, which would be the grass that could be the most tolerant of shade. So in an area where you only get 2 hours of direct sun, you're going to have to either keep replanting turf and spending a lot of money, or do what I've done in my front yard. I don't have any turf at all. All I have is ground covers and shade-loving plants. There are a bunch of different ground covers that can be used. And I also have a walkway system in the front yard that's the dark gray crushed granite that goes through all those areas. It's the most common question that any of us in this business get is how to grow turf in the shade. And you know, golf course superintendents deal with it, homeowners deal with it, commercial people, everybody, you know, has the same issue. So rather than St. Augustine grass, which would be your only possible way to go with turf, I would take a look at Ophiopogon, Liriope, Asian jasmine, English ivy, Persian ivy, all those shade-loving type ground covers. You can also use the native ground cover called horse herb. It'll work in the shade. And then you can use larger things like wood fern and holly fern and, you know, all the shade loving kind of perennials and shrubs and things like that, and create something that's very pleasant. If you want to grow turf, you're going to have to take trees out. That's the only way you can go.
Okay. All right. Well,
I wish I had better news for you. And yeah. Let me tell you one other thing, and this is one of the things we'll be dealing with on some of these short online classes that we're going to do. If the trees could vote on what to have underneath them, you know what they would vote on?
What?
Mulch. Nothing but mulch. Yeah. Not to have any competition at all. Have the place to themselves. And so having some mulch, and the mulch could even be the circulation system, the walkway system, but having a combination of shade-loving ground covers and some shredded native tree trimmings, mulch, some lava gravel or crushed granite, like I have, sitting areas and walkway systems through the planting and everything. You know, the trees will like that fine. Don't put any plastic under the ground cover or the mulch or anything like I was talking early in the show.
Yeah, I was listening to that.
Yeah, but that's what the trees would like. And I'm sorry, but you just have to have a lot of sun to grow turf.
Okay. Can I ask you another quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
You were talking about orange oil for carpenter ants, because we have carpenter ants also. And can I spray? Like, I know where they're coming in and out of the house, the weep holes, and it's right by the faucet, the hose faucet on the outside.
Uh-huh.
Can I spray the orange oil right on the house, or how do you
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, you sure can. In fact, it makes a real good cleaner. When I tell people how to get mold and mildew off the house in a power washer, a little orange oil in it is the absolute best thing you can do. You can use it at up to 2 ounces per gallon of water and not hurt your plants. If you keep it around 1 ounce, it's even better, and it'll do a pretty good job. But if you're just spraying it on hard surfaces and you need to kill carpenter ants or other things, you can go up to as much as 2 ounces per gallon of water. It kills them, and it sets up a repelling condition as well. Smells wonderful.
Great. Okay. I will give that a try.
Yeah, the Medina orange oil is the one I'm the most comfortable with, but any pure orange oil, which is D-limonene is what it ought to say, is the official active ingredient in the product.
I think Medina is what I have.
Okay.
Does it last for a long time? I feel like I've had it for a long time.
Yeah, it might do kind of like Garrett juice. After you have it for quite a while, it might develop some clumpiness, and you might need to filter that out. But other than that, it won't hurt it at all.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Roger, and he's in Mahia, Texas. Hey, Roger.
How you doing, Doc?
Doing well.
Okay. I've got poison ivy growing in the trees. But what I've done is I've cut about 2 inches out at the base, at the side.
Uh-huh.
How long does it take that sap to not bother you?
Forever.
Forever. Okay. So it's already dead, but I didn't know whether the sap was active all the time or not.
If you're sensitive to it, you can probably get the rash from dead stuff that's been dead for quite a while. It's not going to be as powerful if it still has the sap in it. But you need, if you're really allergic to it, Roger, just be careful and just let it kind of deteriorate and fall apart on its own.
Okay, that's what I need to know. One last question. My brother-in-law seen on the internet that the small...
Roger, I'm going to have to put you on hold. I'll talk to you off the air or bring you back in just a minute because I got to run. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
To live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border.
You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They are fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, run by the Stuart Frankie family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for years. Medina produces high-quality liquid and dry fertilizers like Medina's Organic Growing Green. It has a balance of nutrients for developing healthy root systems and many other products. Whether it's landscaping, turf, trees, herbs, or vegetables, Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and protecting the environment. Medina products work beautifully and they're free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware stores, garden centers, farm stores, and other places that sell organic products. Medina, over a half a century of proven performance. For more information, go to MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. I chatted with the last caller off the air just for a second. I thought I'd pass it on to everybody because it may be a fairly common misconception. He said a friend of his or a relative had said that copperhead snakes, you know, poisonous snakes, that if they have a yellow tail, that the tail was poisonous. It's not true. I looked it up just to see if there was anything about it, and it talked about a couple of things. It said, of course, that's not true, but it talks about, are baby snakes more poisonous than adults? That's a common thing that's often said, and I've talked to people about that, and it's not absolutely consistent, but the most consistent thing that I hear about that is that the baby snakes can be a little more venomous because they don't yet know how to control the release of their venom. A more adult snake, this is what I've been told. So some of you snake experts out there might fact check me on this. But the theory is, and what I've been told, is that the baby snakes unload their entire venom when they bite because they can't control it. The older ones can put out enough to not waste it and can, you know, moderate the amount of venom that goes out. So is that right or wrong? That's what I've heard for a long time, and that's one of the things that I talked about in some of the stuff I pulled up real quickly, a little fast research. Here's Ron in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Howard. Just a quick question. I bought two black diamond crepe myrtles last fall and planted them, and they've done real well as far as growth is concerned. And they started blossoming here about, well, maybe 3 weeks ago. They have a real pretty red flower. And I was out this morning watering, and I noticed that the blossoms are getting like a rust color something on them. Since this is my first year of experience with them, I didn't know if how long I should expect those blossoms to last on there. But then I noticed there this rust stuff was also on the buds, which haven't opened yet. And I'm wondering if there's some type of a fungus or something that I've got to deal with these plants.
Well, one of the things that's kind of standard to deal with crepe myrtles is powdery mildew. And if it's rusty in color, that's a little bit of a head scratcher. Normally, the powdery mildew that we get on crepe myrtles is a white color. We'll sometimes get a black color, and that's sooty mold. And sooty mold comes on the plant of any kind of plant because the aphid's waste, which is called honeydew, grows this black mold. The mold comes on as a result of the insects being there. You see what I mean? But
yeah.
But the fungus that's most common on crepe myrtles is this white powdery mildew. There's two things here. One is you can control it with any of the organic disease control things that we talk about. The commercial product called Pure Grow Disease Stop works very well. It's a cinnamon and clove product. You can use baking soda or potassium bicarbonate at one rounded tablespoon per gallon of water. You can soak cornmeal in water and spray the cornmeal juice on it. That'll work beautifully. You can use hydrogen peroxide, mix 50-50 with water, or mix it with the Garrett juice, and that'll control the powdery mildew. But in all of those cases, even though those organic techniques will stop the disease, whether it's minor or it's really hurting the blooming of the crepe myrtle, the disease will come back unless you fix what was causing the stress in the plant that brought it on in the first place. And you probably know where I'm going with this. Crepe myrtles are notoriously too deep in the ground because they come too deep in the container when you buy them. And so exposing that base and dramatically exposing the flare is how you solve that problem long term.
Oh, okay. Now, how are they? Are they a fairly drought-resistant plant, or do they require pretty regular watering, or what?
Crepe myrtles are remarkably tough for beautiful blooming plants once they're established. To get them going, get them established, get that root system out and toughened up and everything, you need to make sure that the soil stays not overly sopping wet, but moist enough for the plant to be happy. Once they are mature, they can go through a drought without any water at all, and they'll end up looking pretty ugly. They'll wilt, they'll lose their flowers, and they'll wilt, and they'll look real sad, but as soon as they're watered, they'll come right back. They are fairly drought tolerant, to answer your question.
Yeah, because I water them on a fairly regular basis because I have other flowers that I think require regular flowering, so I do all of them at the same time, and I noticed the foliage, the leaves and so forth, have no evidence of any of this kind of tan-colored growth on them. It's just the blossoms. And
That's kind of different. Is there any way you can take a photograph and send me a picture?
Well, I can try. I'm not a very techie person.
Okay. Well, if you can send me a picture of it, I may see something else, and I'd like that's kind of unusual that the flowers would have the signs of the disease, but it's certainly possible. I think it's what knocks the flowers off of crepe myrtles prematurely in some cases and doesn't necessarily show up visually. So you may have something that's a little bit different there.
Yeah, we've got some other folks have crepe myrtles. Some are huge. They must be up 20 foot or more.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all flowered out. And how long is it reasonable to expect the blossom to last on a healthy crepe myrtle like these black diamonds? If they're healthy plants, can I expect like a month or a month and a half of decent flowers on them, or how long would you?
Well, some of the newer ones, like that one would be, will tend to bloom a long time, and if the conditions are kept good, they'll bloom basically all summer. Some of the older crepe myrtles bloom one time and then tend to not have flowers for a while unless you cut the tips back. Cutting the tips back can actually force a completely second round of flowers on those kind of crepe myrtles. But a lot of the new ones, they've been bred to have certain colors and brighter colors and flowers that last longer. So if you keep the conditions good, you can see some color on the crepe myrtles pretty much all growing season.
So do you think there'd be any advantage of maybe trimming back those flower heads that show this stuff? Do you think they might re-bloom on those stems, or is it too late?
It would be worth a try, and it's not too late. And if you expose the flare at the same time, you'll probably have dramatic additional flowering on the plant.
Okay. Well, like I said, this is the first year that we've had them in the blossom season, so everything I see is a new experience for me. And so I will try trimming back maybe a few of them to see how they respond, and then I'll try it. You said the hydrogen peroxide is like 50-50 with water?
50-50 with water, or what works even better is to mix it 50-50 with your Garrett juice that's in a ready-to-spray form. So you get foliar feeding benefit out of it, as well as the disease control from the hydrogen peroxide. Either way will work fine. But no matter which way you go, get that flare uncovered, because that's where you're going to see the drama of it getting better and having almost no problems at all from this point forward.
Well, thank you, Howard. I really appreciate the advice. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. Another one of the things that I want to show in some short courses to go along with our 15-chapter course. And by the way, there's open lines for you, 866-444-3478. One of the things that I want to show is, and Bob Webster and I were talking about this yesterday on his show, and he said he was seeing it a lot in San Antonio, and of course I see it here all the time, so it must be all over the country, and that is that the crepe myrtles coming onto the marketplace from the growers are too deep in the containers, dramatically too deep in the containers, whether they're bald and burlapped or they're container grown. And it's really frustrating. You know, we couldn't hardly be talking about it more often than we are. And it seems like we're losing ground to a degree with certain plants. I told him that in addition to crepe myrtles being in that category and really needing to be fixed when they're planted or later on, like we were just talking about, some of the other trees just as bad. Lace bark elms are in that category, way too deep in the containers before they're even planted. Chinese pistachios, way too deep. And in both those cases, or any other plant for that matter, especially any other woody plant, you need to fix the fact that the flare is buried before it's planted, so that it, after being planted, that flare is left dramatically uncovered. It makes all the difference in the world to disease issues, to insect issues, to galls on the plant, and on some trees that are susceptible to woodpeckers, the sapsuckers. Being too deep in the ground brings them on. Mistletoe, if you want to get rid of mistletoe, the same is true. You can remove the soil from the flare, from the root flare or trunk flare, whatever you want to call it. We're tending to all go toward just calling it the flare these days. But you can uncover the flare of a tree that's infested with mistletoe or with or galls or any other parasite, and they'll go away. They'll drop and go away. It's pretty fascinating. And in some cases, they'll come back. One thing that happens, it's happened to a couple of my trees, and it'll be another subject to do video of, too. If you have a tree in an area where when it rains that there's water washing across and building up a little bit of soil on it every time it rains, and you build back up in that ground cover or shrubs or just around the base of the tree, you can have a flare that's dramatically exposed, get too deep again, and the problems come back, and you have to do a little management to take the soil off again and adjust the plants. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Mike, you'll be next when I come back. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com. That's where you can find the connection to all the different things that I talk about.
Good Natured. That's the name of an exceptional line of organic garden and landscape products consisting of fertilizer, pest control, weed control, and soil amendments. You can find Good Natured and other great natural organic products at Dirt Doctor destinations, in independent garden centers, and hardware stores. Good Natured creates products that are safe and simply work better in every way. Look for these great products in Dirt Doctor destinations, and to learn more, go to goodnaturedforall.com. That's goodnaturedforall.com.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Lava sand is a critical part of the Dirt Doctor's natural organic recommendations for bed prep and soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. Cinerite is the only high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. Their lava soil amendment will dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production, and it can be delivered directly to you. Call Cinerite at 435-200-3191. That's 435-200-3191, or visit cinerite.com.
Dirt Doctor here with a tip on backyard storage. Usual storage sheds get unpleasantly hot during the summer and damage your stuff. Not the case with Ulrich sheds. Because of their ventilation systems, they're roughly about 18 degrees cooler than standard sheds. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their building designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth, and join the thousands of happy customers. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433, or ulrichbarns.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically, When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefit to the rose is squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as Pure Grow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tree treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to DirtDoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you, and as promised, Mike's turn, calling from Van Alstine, Texas. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, I think during the break you had a little section on roses that might have answered, or with maybe a little more research on the on your website, I might have answered all my questions. But I was looking into putting in a rose hedge for hip production. And I was wondering which variety you would suggest for, you know, this north Texas area and where I could possibly find them.
Well, we did. I don't remember if it was a Dallas Morning News column that started it or I just did an entry. But I've got an entry on roses, rose varieties that are in our experimental gardens on the website on DirtDoctor.com. And I'll double check that. It might be a good time to update that. Some of the ones that I like the best are the ones that are on their own roots. You know, they're not hybrids, and they tend to be more better looking bushes. Some of the ones that you might want to take a look at, one called Duchere is a really good one. Fairy is a tough. When Belinda's Dream is just a gorgeous, tough rose. Cinco de Mayo is a very interesting one. I was just noticing a couple. I've got an area where I don't even pay any attention to them. I just let them be on their own without much care at all. And Cinco de Mayo is one that is tough enough to hold up in that kind of a condition. But take a look at the entry that we've done on DirtDoctor.com, and I think that'll help you more than anything.
Okay. Also, I know there's an old multi-floral variety that, you know, you can find randomly grown in fence rows. Would I also be all right to maybe get some cuttings off of those? And
you bet. It'd be good. In fact, one that's in that category, maybe the one that you're talking about, is called Mutabilis or Butterfly Rose. And it's great because it'll have three different colors of flowers on it all at once as they mature. And it grows to be big. You need to have plenty of room for it. It grows to be a really, really big rose. Another one that gets really, really big that's foolproof that I ought to mention to you is called Lady Banks Rose. And it'll grow in a real wide part of the United States. Comes in white or a yellow, either one. And it's a beautiful big old, not exactly climbing, more of a leaning rose. So it would be one for you to look at also.
And that's a thornless, right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Does it actually produce hips, usable hips?
I don't think so. If it does, they're very, very small. Some of the others, the rose, probably produces the largest, most dramatic hips if you're interested in that. We also covered that in a newsletter and in a article that I wrote for Dallas Morning News. So just do a search on dirtdoctor.com for rose hips, and you'll get the articles I've written on that subject also.
Great, great. I think thank you for your time. Enjoy
okay.
your show.
Thanks for the call. Talk to you later.
Have a good day.
Oh, open lines. Mary Rose and I were talking the last couple of weeks. It's just been jam-packed, and today it's been really light. I don't know whether people are on vacation or what, but the what happens for you is it's a lot easier to get in today if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. Let me take advantage of just a little bit of a lull here to catch up on a couple of things that I needed to bring up for you. Nematodes, root knot nematodes, has come up in a couple of different ways. And root knot nematodes can be a problem. You'll hear from the universities using things like Elbon rye as a trap crop and some of those things. That's too much trouble, and it's too much trouble. It's too much trouble to do, and it's too much trouble to get rid of the trap crop later on. A better way to do it is just do things that build the biological activity of your soil. Real good mulch, like I've been talking about, that's a shredded tree trimmings mulch. Some people call it arborist chips. It's great because it stimulates biological activity so effectively. So if you're using some other kind of mulch, don't do that. Use a less expensive shredded native tree trimmings as your mulch. Also, if you get orange peelings, if you eat oranges or any kind of citrus, save the peelings, throw them in a plastic bag, freeze them, and just before you plant a crop that in the past you've had trouble with root knot nematodes, things like okra or tomatoes or peppers or whatever it is, you grind those frozen citrus peelings, and it smells great when you do it, into a pulp, and then you mix that pulp, citrus pulp, into the bed preparation along with the other things that we recommend, compost, rock minerals like lava sand and azomite, and the sugars like whole ground cornmeal and dry molasses. All of those things stimulate biological activity that will override the root knot nematodes. But the orange peelings mixed in it really, really work well, too. That's a tip I got from a listener a long, long time ago. Sod webworms are also a big problem out there for a lot of people. Beneficial nematodes as a preventative next time, you won't have the problem. For now, spraying with a BT product or with a spinosad product is the way to control those sod webworms and get them under control in a hurry. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We've got another hour. If your radio station doesn't carry all 3 hours, you can listen to the live stream on dirtdoctor.com or also our Dirt Doctor app. Telephone number 866-444-3478.